This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, our weekly talk show on Brooklands Radio, when we are lucky enough to spend an hour chatting with some amazing local women with fascinating life experiences. I'm Anne Twist, and today I'm presenting alongside the lovely Sharon Finch. How are you, Sharon?
Hi, Anne. I'm fantastic. Thank you very much. It's great to be working with you today, as normal. Today we have three really interesting guests. First up will be Julia Jones from Iceland Traveller, Cara McGrath, who teaches children about positive touch, and finally we have Jane Redhead, who is marketing manager at Cool Quick in Farnham. We're really looking to chatting to them both, and it's going to be a very interesting show today.
Thanks, Sharon. And so to start today's show, I'm delighted to welcome our first guest, Julia Jones. Hello, Julia. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello.
Hi, great to have you on. So perhaps, Julia, we could start with you telling our listeners how you first became involved in sort of travel to Iceland.
Certainly. It all started when I was teaching geography some years ago and accompanied my school on their first trip to Iceland. That was in 2000. And over the following years, I kept going back to Iceland with the school. And then after a few years, had made quite a lot of friends in Iceland and just felt that it was calling to me. So something very special about Iceland had happened. And so I decided to give up the day job and set up Iceland Traveller.
So really, you first went there from a geography perspective.
Absolutely, yes, and amazing landscapes and loved the place and gradually saw more and more of the country. But I just realised that I wanted to explore more and also share it with other people, because sharing it with children is amazing, but you can share it with adults and all sorts of groups. And yeah, the idea just came from there. So it was 2010 when I started.
Right, okay.
And I've been working hard at it ever since.
And going back many times a year?
Oh, yes, I do. Well, I usually go three or four times a year at least. I'm going off, actually, at the beginning of May to explore the East Fjords, which I know slightly, but there's lots of research to do there.
How do your tours work? Do you tailor package or do you individually design a tour for somebody?
You can have your own bespoke tour made, so if you're travelling on your own or as a family or with a group of friends. But we also offer quite a large range of escorted trips, because if you want to see Iceland with a guide and not worry about the driving and the travelling, then that's a really good way to do it. We've also just started to offer cruises run by an amazing Icelandic company, so it's a small ship and lots of stops because the boat is small. And then the guides get off the ship and take you and do the land-based tours as well. So we're really excited about that.
Is this through the year in the deep, dark depths of winter as well?
Iceland is an all-year-round destination. So the winter, we're just coming to the end of the Northern Light season now. And then the days are getting longer and longer. So by the middle to end of June, it'll be 24-hour daylight. So the complete contrast and all the flowers and the birds appear, and it's very, very colourful. And then in the wintertime, it goes back to being sort of black, white and green. But the snow and the ice and the weather are just amazing.
And so I've never been there or anywhere, I think, that far north. Is it, do you have snow pretty much all year round?
No, the glaciers are always there all the year round.
Yeah.
The snow comes usually sort of October, November time of year, and it will stay in the north until late April, early May. So when we go in May, we could well find that there's snow lying still.
Right, okay. And so you fly to, is it Reykjavik?
You fly to Keflavik, which is the international airport, and from there travel into Reykjavik. And it's a beautiful, walkable city, very small, very charming, and then lots of people just elect to stay there for a few days, and then you can take day tours from Reykjavik to see all the surrounding area, or hire a car, or do whatever you like. And if you go in the summertime, then you can drive the whole way round, give yourself 10 days or 2 weeks.
Sounds amazing.
Really splendid journey.
It's always it's been at the top of my list for ages.
Well,
that's it.
Well,
now
your chance.
I know you. With your geography hat on, has it prompted you to design packages for schools?
Oh, we do, yes, we do. I mean, my old school are still very regular and loyal customers, so they go every February, big group of them. And we do trips for schools, but we're very much a niche business, and there are lots of trips for schools already in operation. So we are offering sort of cultural trips, or if you want to do something like knitting, history, sagas, art, textiles, all those kinds of things. So we try to make all our trips authentic, but we're trying to have a slightly different kind of approach for schools, and also to take smaller groups and do hiking. We've got our first group going camping and hiking in the summer, which is really exciting. They're camping out for 3 nights and going up into the mountains with some guides.
And what are the sort of downsides, the potential dangers of that? Bears or wildlife?
No, wildlife. No, there's barely any wildlife in Iceland, really. The occasional polar bear floats across on a lump of ice, but that's really unusual. The dangers are, I suppose, that it's a wild landscape and it's not fenced in, and there aren't lots of signs which tell you not to go anywhere. But that's one of the attractions for me for taking children, is because they need to learn to self-assess, you know, risk and danger. And so, you know, they very soon learn. And you're so surrounded by the elements, you know, you can see that it's really windy, so you don't want to go to the edge of things. But, I mean, needless to say, everything is highly risk-assessed, but it's definitely a country where you can, you know, you can learn to be outdoors and to travel safely.
Have you noticed a food revolution in Iceland, or people more interested in the type of food, the organic nature and the smoking? And
absolutely. When I first went to Iceland, it was very much kind of boiled fish and potatoes. And then in the early 2000s, Iceland started to have its major tourist boom. And Icelanders were very lucky because tourists brought new ideas, and also the tourism market brought the opportunity for Iceland to import a lot of food. So you could get almost anything from anywhere in the world in Iceland up until about 2007. And then their economic crash came and the importing had to stop. And so Icelanders were really forced to go back to their roots. And so home baking and, you know, using jam and skyr, which is their traditional sort of dairy product, all became really relevant. But what happened was that all the influences that had been brought in the years before that stayed. And so when things began to recover, Icelandic food just completely changed. And so there was lots of new ideas and new ways to cook things, and from that has just grown the most incredible interest in, you know, making fish in beautiful ways and using all sorts of all the parts of all the animals, but presenting them in much more edible ways than they used to be in the past. It's very exciting.
And with, you know, when the crash came and they were forced to sort of think differently, did that mean that they started to, you know, grow things at home that possibly they hadn't grown before?
I think there was a lot more of that, and I think there's just a lot more experimenting. So, I mean, Iceland has a huge amount of geothermal energy, so growing tomatoes in greenhouses has always been something that they did. But now there are a much wider range of salad crops, and in things like potatoes, which have always grown, there's much more variety. And people are starting to experiment even with trying to grow things like fruit, even though the growing season is so short. It took me a few years to realise that when it's daylight all the time, things just keep growing. So although it's only a matter of weeks, actually the growing time is almost 24 hours a day. So it's extraordinary. Yes. Yeah. And they're growing barley again, which hasn't been grown since, well, Viking times. So there's all sorts of new things happening. It's very
fascinating.
Exciting
history as well, I'm sure.
Oh, really? Yeah, really, really interesting.
That probably brings us nicely on to your current joint project. Do you want to tell our listeners about that?
Oh, I'd love to, yes. I met up with an extraordinary lady called Joanna Marshall nearly a year ago. And she's a chocolate maker. And in the past, I've had a great interest in making chocolate myself. But what we decided to do was to try and find a way to combine her chocolate with an ingredient from Iceland. And what I really want to do is to be able to show people a taste of Iceland without them having been to Iceland. You do need to go there for the best foods. So what we decided to do was to experiment with a couple of ingredients. And we had the choice of things like Angelica, licorice or salt. And Angelica we decided against, and licorice is used quite a lot in Iceland to make chocolate already, but we weren't 100% sure that we would be able to get licorice that was made in Iceland. So we plumped for salt, and what we've done is to use Icelandic sea salt flakes that are produced on the west coast of Iceland and combine those with this very delicious chocolate that Jo makes, and produce our bar. So prototype is done,
I'm just going to eat some whilst you talk.
Yes, you try.
I'll try and keep the noise down.
Yeah, you try it first and tell us what you think. So while you're doing that, am I right in thinking that the chocolate or the cocoa comes from Madagascar?
It does indeed. Joe buys really beautiful chocolate, and I think I'm right in saying that in Madagascar, the chocolate is not just fair trade, but the Madagascans produce their own chocolate from their beans, so they're actually getting the benefit of producing their chocolate themselves, but also gaining from having done that. Whereas if you export the cocoa beans on their own and they're made somewhere else, and the manufacturing process, the profits from that don't go back to their home country. So it's a really fairly traded product.
And there are health benefits as well from eating chocolate.
Well, there certainly are. Yes, no, antioxidants are high on the list. But yes, I mean, plain chocolate's definitely very good for you. Yes, is that definitely true?
Right. Well, Sharon has sampled, and what's the verdict?
Do you know, I've never tasted any chocolate quite like it. And I'm not saying that because you're sitting here, but that was a journey of tastes. And I know I do watch MasterChef and all of that, but it started with quite bitter, and then it went to a rich, crunchy sweetness, and then it went to a lovely, salty kind of, not caramel, but that's amazing. All those
amazing
things, one after the other.
Yeah, and if you let it kind of melt on your tongue, then the salt just gradually kind of comes through. And because we found it quite difficult to get the salt to be evenly distributed in the chocolate bar, so if you eat the whole bar, you'll get some mouthfuls with a little bit less salt than others. But that kind of, you know, difference in the amount of saltiness that comes through is really
very
interesting.
So we really need to eat a whole bar.
Well, you do, but you know, it's very satisfying. even a small bit, isn't it, is quite satisfying.
That was really nice.
It was
delicious.
Really nice. Yeah. I mean, I love salt and sweet together. I mean, obviously, salted caramel has been a very popular taste. It's great that you've use that in your chocolate. Actually, I'm not sure how the licorice would have tasted.
Oh, you have to try it. No, it's really good. Right. It's really good. Okay. Next time.
What's it going to be called?
Well, it's just an Icelandic sea salt bar. So it's going to have, Jo's company is called Coco, and it's going to have her label on it. And it's also going to have another label with Iceland Traveller on it. But the idea is that it's something that we can give to our clients before they go. If I do anything presentation wise, which I do quite a lot, then I can just share it out for people to try. So it's a talking point for people who are interested in Iceland and Icelandic food in particular.
Did you train yourself to be a chocolatier?
Kind of. I know a little bit about chocolate making, and I was involved with a business that was making chocolate. But it's been an old interest. Mm. So I leapt at the possibility of doing this.
Wow. I mean, it's delicious, I have to say. And you're launching that quite soon, I think, aren't you? Is that at the food festival in Surbiton?
That's right. Yes, Surbiton has an amazing food festival every year in May. And one of the main events of the festival is the Village Fete. And last year I had a very tiny little stand and took Icelandic foods for people to look at and to try. And we had a great response and people were really interested. So I'm going back again this year, but we're going to have lots of the chocolate bars there for people
fantastic
to try. Yeah.
And otherwise, if they can't make it along there, how do we get our hands on some? Is it being sold online? Or?
I think the best thing to do is just to contact me and I can post it, supply it to people if they'd like to try it. Or I can come along and do a presentation for a group of them and they can try it there and find out more about Iceland at the same time.
That's good. That could help prompt some interest in your other business.
Absolutely.
Then.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
Right, well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our chat with you, Julia. So it just remains really to ask if you've got any sort of extra information you'd like to share with the listeners about the chocolate or the tours, anything we haven't covered.
Well, I think we've done the chocolate pretty extensively. Iceland is an amazing place. And I think that as far as food is concerned, for anybody who's got an interest in travelling and tasting food and trying, it's a wonderful destination. And we offer an enormous range of day tours and food journeys and cookery opportunities. You can go and cook an Icelandic lunch in Reykjavik. So there are lots of things to do. So please look on my website or send me an email.
I was going to ask you, actually, if you have many people take up the knitting tours.
Yes, they do.
They're
very popular. Yes, and we've actually had Icelanders knitting here as well. So it goes both ways.
Yeah. I mean, I quite like knitting, but I'm just wondering whether I'd actually go to Iceland to do that, whether if I'm in Iceland I want to see something like the Northern Lights.
Oh, no,
or...
but you can knit on the bus. That's what you do.
Oh, okay.
You go to Reykjavik and you buy your wool and your pattern and you cast on with your circular needles and then you just knit as you go along.
Oh, right.
People knit in the plane going to Iceland.
Oh, so you've bought the kit and then you just...
Absolutely. We have people that can help you to learn the Icelandic knitting style as well.
Everyone loves those Icelandic jumpers as well that they wear in the thrillers, don't they?
Yes, they really do.
The black and white patterned ones.
Yeah. And you can make them in all sorts of fine wool now because they're so warm. That in England people find them really hot to wear, so there's all sorts of modern designs.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps that's a whole different subject.
Perhaps, yes, it is. Or you need to come back again for that. So if anyone wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way? Via your website or email or
either? Yes. Do you want my website information?
That would be good. Yes, please.
That's www.icelandtraveller.co.uk. And I'm Julia, and my email is julia@icelandtraveller.co.uk.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Julia, for coming onto the show. It's been really interesting talking with you about chocolate and knitting and fjords and all sorts of things. So we're going to take a short ad break now, after which we'll be chatting with Carol McGrath. So don't go away.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Are you tackling a DIY project? Are you unsure about what you need? Would some expert advice come in handy? Then head on down to Fetcham Home Hardware at 226 Cobham Road, Fetcham. We are a family-run business based in the community and offer a really friendly and knowledgeable service. We know that you will be amazed at the comprehensive range of products on offer for DIY and the home. You'll find tools, paints, cleaning materials, light bulbs, heaters, kindling logs, coal, our very handy key-cutting service, and lots more. And if you mention you have heard this ad on Brooklands Radio, you will receive a 10% discount on the spot. So whatever your DIY or home requirements, visit your very own Aladdin's Cave. Fetcham Home Hardware in Cobham Road.
Hair Mechanics is Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group, with two superior salons, one in the heart of West Byfleet and the second in the Bourne Valley Garden Centre of Addlesden. Hair Mechanics offers hairstyling and finishing, beauty and holistic therapies, nail treatments, tanning and electrolysis. For our office promotions, contact information and more, please see our website hairmechanics.co.uk or call 01932 350 877. Hair Mechanics, Surrey's premier hair and beauty salon group.
Hi, it's Jill Bennett. Why not listen in on Sunday afternoons between 2 and 5? I'll be playing lots of great tunes featuring classic hits from across the decades, news and events in Surrey, and your essential guide to a happier and healthier lifestyle. There'll be a guest each week sharing their expertise. So join me, Jill Bennett, this Sunday on Brooklands Radio between 2 and 5.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Sharon Finch, together with Anne Twist. I'm really pleased now to introduce our next guest, which is Carol McGrath. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Anne.
I've been desperate to ask you loads of questions all day.
Ooh!
you run the Peer Massage Project.
I do.
Which is absolutely fascinating, but could you give a brief overview to the listeners about what the project is about?
It's quite an unusual thing. So I'm actually a massage and aromatherapist, and I've been in the business for about 15 years. And I previously had worked in a school for about 3 years and was a learning support assistant, and then went into massage. And a friend came to me and said, could you put together a program that would help children? He was very interested in meditation. And he said, I'd like to do something to help the kids physically and mentally. Can you put together a program about massage? So I said, I'd love to, because I'd been working in a school at St. Luke's in Kingston. So it was wonderful. I got in, went into Latchmere and put together a program. And then I did a 6-month research project working in 6 different schools in Kingston, and we got the teachers to fill in forms over a 6-month period looking at before and after learning attitudes and behaviour and how it helped the kids. And so by using very simple self and peer massage sequences, the children who massaged each other through their clothes, nothing to do with the teachers or myself, were able to enjoy, feel relaxed and calm, but also, unbeknownst to them,
their learning improved, their attitudes, their behaviour, their communication. So all of these things came together. So I've done a programme and I do loads of, I've got lots of different stories that I've linked into the national curriculum, and they resonate with science, literacy, humanities, and stories that are about 5-10 minutes long that are on CD with music, so the teacher can pop them into the CD or download them, and a teacher will take about 5 minutes, maximum 10 minutes, into a classroom and use the massage to help the children feel relaxed and calm. Or if it's, so for example, a year two, they might be studying something to do with the Fire of London. So they would use my Fire of London CD to help even bring that, just to help them relax. But also, they're hearing all the facts, the history facts. I did a CD story, which was for a year six group in Sherringdale about 2 years ago, and that was all to do with maths. So that's maths in massage. So the kids are actually using massage signs, doing things on the back, but it's a massage story with music, and they're learning at the same time as feeling relaxed and calm. So there's so much to it, which I love. The kids enjoy it. It's nothing to do with me. It's them massaging each other. They always get consent. We have consent from all the parents as well, which is paramount. So, yeah, it's just fascinating. I love doing it and meeting the kids too.
So really, because they're so relaxed, they're sort of absorbing the information or the lesson or the story.
Exactly.
And they're not really thinking. They're not being distracted. Is that maybe part of it as well? If they're sitting there listening to a normal lesson, maybe they're distracted.
That's it. So what happens is you've got two nervous systems, a parasympathetic and a sympathetic nervous system. Sympathetic is when you're ready for fight or flight and you've got the adrenaline running around. So if you've ever been sitting in an exam and you suddenly feel that twinge, I can't do this, and everything seems to shut down and you can feel your mouth goes all sticky and you have that palpitation in your heart. How would a child get through that if mum or dad isn't there, you know, if they're feeling anxious or angry? So as a massage therapist, we're there to help people, teach people about the parasympathetic, or just get them into the parasympathetic, which is where you're relaxed, you're calm, in homeostasis, your heartbeat calms down, your breathing is much deeper, the oxygen's flowing to your mind, your brain a lot more, therefore, and you get this release of oxytocin, which is a happy hormone. So all of this put together, which the children don't realise, we ask them to reciprocate and say, how do you feel after the massage? And they just look and say, that's amazing. And so they feel relaxed and calm, and they're able to therefore communicate more, listen more, which is why I had with the research over the 6 months, I had a white paper written collecting all of that empirical data, showing how learning, attitudes and behaviour, learning improved by 10.2% over a 6 month period of them using massage a couple of times a week in the class.
Is this something you've kind of created yourself, or is this something you were aware of and you sort of rolled this out to schools? Or
I was aware of it. There's a company called Massage for Kids in School, but I wanted to do something totally different, and I wanted to have the stories so that a teacher and a parent never felt that this was distracting from what a child was going to learn in school. And therefore, I'll go into schools now. Grand Avenue is one, Coombe Hill. They will actually make their own massage stories. So Grand Avenue were looking at Vikings. So about a year ago, I had 30 children who came together and we brainstormed. They found the massage strokes. We got the music. They recorded it with my wonderful chap, Simon, who was from the BBC, and we put it onto CD. So now Grand Avenue have their own CD that they made for massage. Coombe Hill were the same. In year two, they were doing about mini beasts. So again, they all came together. We did music, and then we did, what massage can we do for a crawly caterpillar? Or maybe a spider just crawling up your back, or the rustling under the leaves. And the kids come up with these ideas. They're absolutely, if you give a child a chance, they will, I mean, as a teacher, you know, it's amazing what they all come up with. And this is a life skill that they will learn, learning how to feel in control by a bit of self-massage. But also, it's this reciprocal bit. It's the tolerance, it's the empathy towards other kids. So you're promoting this lovely team relationship within a class, and then it spans out where I'll do a workshop between parents and children, relax before SATs. So just coming in before year six. And mums will come in or dads with their year six, and the kids massage the parents, and the parents cannot believe what these little hands can do. It's so I'm very privileged. And it's not me doing it, it's the kids and the parents as well. Yeah.
I think that the element I really love is the fact that inhibitions will go, because I love massage. My children had cranial massage and benefited from it, but there are some people that are scared of that, the physical touch or the tactile nature, and that would remove all of that for these children.
Thank you for bringing that up, Anne, because what I say, it's positive touch. It's teaching the kids what is good, safe, positive touch. And so a child, before they give a massage, will always say, are you happy to have a massage? Let's get the thumbs up. So if somebody doesn't want one, then they know they don't have to have one. But the kids know that in these massages, that it will either be on their head, their neck, their shoulders, their back, their arms, through their clothes, nowhere else. This is safe, positive touch. It puts the kids in control. They're in the driving seat all the time.
And what sort of age do they sort of not grow out of it, but is it primary school? Do they carry on to secondary school?
So I've done it from nursery up to year six,
okay,
and looking now to go into senior school. So I'm going to be coming, doing mindfulness as a teacher as well. So I'm looking to introduce that with a bit of self-massage into senior school, so I can come at it from a bit of a different angle. But with the self-massage, you see, in senior schools, kids can still do that. They don't actually, if they feel embarrassed by the touch, they don't have to use it.
If it's a co-ed school, is there any difference? Have you found any less reticent?
Or not at all.
Just makes no difference.
You know,
at all?
You'll always maybe get, they say in year six, and the teachers are saying, oh, we get it. Maybe they're going to be a bit resilient. They don't really want to do this. They'll laugh. Yes, okay. But it's, you just have to chat to them. I was in year six. It was when the Olympics were on. And I said to the boys, I said, you've got to think about this. Every Olympian that is representing GB has a contract, and they have to have massage. And why do they have it? Because it's for their bodies, to make them feel good, to relax or get them ready. Sports massage, or you see somebody rushing onto a pitch in the football match, who is it? It's the physio checking them, giving them massage. And you open up it, and they start thinking, oh yes, I understand what massage is for. So yeah, it's great, because it teaches a child, what is this massage? Why do we use it? And of course, it's been around for thousands of years. Non-invasive, natural therapy, and they don't have to pay for it. They, you know, can use it at home with their parents or for themselves.
Or their pets. They probably like
exactly
their pets.
And that's positive touch too. It's like we do it without thinking. I, you know, shake your hand, say hello. That's greeting. That's saying positive. That's positive touch. Or you reach out just to calm someone down. You say, are you feeling okay, to a friend? Or you're stroking a cat. That's all about positive touch. We use our hands to communicate in so many ways. That's what I love saying to the kids. They don't realize how much our hands actually say without words.
So are you ideally trying to start as young as possible so that they kind of grow up with this idea? Is it harder to say, you're talking about going to secondary schools, will that be harder if they haven't experienced it already?
I think it could be, yeah. But now people are much more open. I think, you know, mindfulness, looking after the mental and physical well-being of our kids is paramount. I mean, this is our next workforce, isn't it? We've got to look after them. So I'm thinking, I want to make sure that we've got a fantastic workforce out there who know how to look after themselves. So the more we introduce it, I mean, I'm not saying that going into a secondary school now would be difficult. It would possibly, but I think they're much more open to it than they used to be.
I think the really unique thing about what you do is, as you mentioned before, linking this with learning concepts and subjects, because children, we know, learn in different ways, remember in different ways, but there's no way that they will forget the massage linked to a CD with the subjects and actually acting out what they're doing. So I think, you know, anybody from schools are listening, I think it's a fantastic way of getting the information to sink in and getting, and you know, all the benefits of circulatory flow and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you're so right, Anne. Thank you, because that's another thing, and Sharon, because some people learn visually, some people learn audio-wise, some people are kinesthetic, and of course this is very kinesthetic, but it has the listening aspect too, because you're listening to the stories, they're hearing different words, they're absorbing things. So you really have to think outside the box when it comes to massage. It's not just about being relaxed and calm, it's really opening up other things for kids as well.
I'm just thinking about how often are schools or pupils participating in this, and are you there at every session, or are you really teaching them how to do it and then you go on to the next school?
Good question, Sharon. There are lots of different ways that you can go about this. So we're looking at difficulties in our schools at the moment because of budgets, and I know that now. So before, I could go into a school and maybe get a whole school trained up, all the teachers. So teachers are massaging each other and they're really benefiting. But of course, those funds maybe aren't there as much as they were. So maybe I'll train a couple of teachers, or maybe I'll go in once a year and they'll have a healthy week, or a week that's in an international week. So we can do a massage on China or India or South Africa or African massage. So I link it to however a school, what funds they've got available, I will adjust it. And so that's the other route is, if they haven't got the funds, how about having a relax before SATs, or just a workshop for parents and children? And then the parents can pay a small amount. Can I say how much, or is that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that
all
right?
Yeah.
So they get a proper CD with a booklet, an hour and a half's workshop for £15 for a mum and dad and a child to attend a workshop. So that's what they would get for the £15.
In a society now, I've got a son who likes PlayStation a lot.
Yeah.
I can see the benefits on even massaging the hands because of the remote control, repetitiveness.
Yes.
Do you run any sessions that are kind of to help that at schools, or not at the moment?
Not yet.
Ooh, that is a good...
there you go. Thank you. Although I have got a stress ball, because I do... it's Cool to Be Calm. That's something I launched in Kingston last year with Omni. It's Cool to Be Calm in Kingston. So getting as many parents aware of that. And I have a squidgy marshmallow stress ball, and I have a lovely massage story, which is about football for the boys. So for kids that maybe don't want to actually touch somebody else, they've got this amazing squidgy ball, but they're using it to do a football massage story on somebody's back. So not only does it get used as a massage to help with massage, but it's also, I do a workshop in It's Cool to Be Calm, helping to get rid of anger, and you're using the stress ball and other techniques as well with massage. So it is very good for the hands, but yeah. I do lots of self-massage that we can learn just on the spot if kids are interested, to help their hands as well.
And so, talking about the self-massage, and you were talking about exam stress earlier, if someone's in an exam situation and they're feeling stressed, is that something that they could then sort of practice in the exam?
Not in the exam, Sharon, but before. There is the most amazing massage stroke. Can I do it on the radio?
Go
do you mind?
For
okay.
It.
This one is what... Okay. It's basically you're putting your hands into cup shapes, and I, for the kids, the younger kids, I call this the horse massage, the horse's cups. And so you're going to push this onto the... So it's like horses galloping. Now imagine if you were
Brilliant.
Standing up and just doing this. This is a great way to get rid of anxiousness, or if you're feeling a bit stressy, and you do it from the bottom of your legs all the way up your legs, onto your tummy, onto your chest, down your arms, even onto your head. And it just releases, and you get this lovely tingling feeling. That's what I would do for kids. And I'd say, do that before an exam. You could have a whole line of them doing it.
I'm glad
it.
You said before, because I just had a vision of 50 kids doing their GCSE maths.
Yeah.
And about 10 of them are getting stressed and doing that. That could be interesting.
Yeah, but that's a good one for self-massage. Yeah. Or kids can even do raindrops on their head. You'll have a line as they're lining up to go into lunch or whatever, and they're maybe feeling a bit stressy, and the teacher will say, let's just do some raindrops on the head, or some cloud shapes, or some lovely waterfalls down from the top of the head, down the back. And just breathe.
That sounds amazing. And
it does sound amazing, although my association with massage is always to fall asleep, so I'm slightly concerned.
Yeah, but not this one, not when you're doing the horse's hooves. That is really... And there's also a very gentle chopping one, which we're really careful, and we check in when we're using that, the kids are using it. But that's good, just around the shoulders and on the arms, and we'll do some stretching, and then the breathing, deep breathing. So together with when you're using different words, different music, you can create the most stimulating, vibrant of stories, or you can have Twinkle Twinkle little star before nighttime, calming down, or the flowing journey of water, which is how do kids learn about water? Transpiration, evaporation, condensation in a massage story for year six about space. And there you've got the push and pull with gravity, etc. And that is really vibrant too. So there are different ways you can feel energized, calm, tranquil. Lots of different ways.
Sounds amazing. You've got an amazing voice, I have to say, for people to listen to as well.
Oh, thank you. So much enthusiasm as well.
Yeah, I mean, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we're fast approaching the time now to end our chat. So I just wanted to say thank you for joining us and just to ask if you've got any sort of final advice for our listeners.
Well, thank you very, very much for having me. It's been great fun. If I'm running workshops around the borough, so if you want to get in touch with me on my website, it's the Peer Massage Project.
Brilliant. Okay.
And they can just ping me an email, and I'm going to be doing workshops around the borough in different schools, and I can tell them about that.
That's great. Thanks very much for that. It's been fascinating chatting with you. I love your enthusiasm for this subject.
Thank you, Sharon.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
Right, time now for another short break, after which we'll be talking all about printing with Jane Redhead from Coolquick.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge is open 100 hours every week to meet your immediate medical needs? We're here for you from 7am to 11pm weekdays, 7am to 9pm Saturdays, and 10am to 4pm on Sundays. Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all the over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The Pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us, 100 hours every week.
Are you finding running your paywall increasingly difficult? Especially with auto-enrolment and real-time paywalls now a fact of life. Why not pass all this to Goddard's Accountants, whose specialists will deal with all these problems? Goddard's will remove the hassle, leaving you to expand your business. And, as we've been in our business for 40 years, you know you're in good hands. Phone us on 020 8941 2187 for the expert advice you require. Goddard's Accountants, West Molesey. We take away your pain so you get the gain.
When you're looking to send important documents and packages, don't settle for second best. Choose Mailboxes etc. in Church Street, Weybridge. We offer you high street access to fast, reliable and internet trackable delivery services from world-class couriers, including UPS, FedEx, Parcelforce and DHL. We also offer a range of Royal Mail services and can pack your shipment so that it arrives safely. Around the corner, around the country or around the world, big or small, Mailboxes etc. in Weybridge can collect, pack and ship it all.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Anne Twist, together with Sharon Finch. Our third guest on today's show is Jane Redhead, who's based at Coolquick in Farnham. So, Jane, lovely to have you on the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So tell us a little bit about how you became sort of involved in working at Coolquick to start with.
Well, I have my own marketing company, and I started working for them for about 10 hours a week. They were looking to enhance their sort of marketing and their sales and expand the area that they worked from. And in doing so, I started working for them full time last September.
Okay.
It's been really good. I love what I do, and I'm in an envious position of really enjoying my job.
So how long ago did you start working for them part-time?
7 years I've been there.
Oh, okay. So 7 years at sort of 10 hours a week and now suddenly full-time?
Yeah. Full-time for about the last 2 or 3 years,
oh,
really.
Okay.
But, Yeah, it's been really good. I've learned so much about the printing industry, because when I went in there, my background is business and marketing. I didn't really have any knowledge about print, and it's a fascinating subject. And I've gone out and I've done presentations at various networking groups and to organisations about printing. So really, really, really interesting.
So you've brought your transferable sort of marketing skills and applied them to, you know, getting this printing business off the ground in the local area?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, we've been there for 33 years in Farnham as a business, but the print industry has obviously changed significantly over the last few years. You know, people don't have their letterheads and their compliment slips and their business stationery, because more and more is obviously done via email and on the computer. So we've had to expand and build our business to meet the changing needs of the consumers.
The list of things that you produce are quite vast, really. Apart from the business cards and stationery, vehicle graphics, canvas prints and acrylics, stands, pop-up banners, branded clothing and promotional gifts. So that's a real variety of products.
Yeah, we've had to basically try and meet the demands of the marketplace. So in going sort of more into digital print, the old-fashioned way of litho printing, it is not so popular nowadays. We used to have a litho press, but we've moved away from that more to the digital on hand, you know, being able to turn around posters and plans in a matter of minutes rather than having to wait for sort of a couple of days for the turnaround. We've invested in a big latex non-solvent ink printer, which means that we can produce PVC banners, we can produce labels, you know, we can produce stuff for hospitals and education and everything else. That's the area really that we've expanded in, and we've been exceptionally lucky that for other Colquicks, they've actually come to us for a lot of their large format material and products, because it's quite an investment in that area.
I think a lot of people would just think that Colquick was a place you nip into from the high street, get some photocopying done and a few business cards, but clearly it's a lot more than that, isn't it? And is that sort of partly down to you having been there and seen, you know, with your marketing expertise, how you can really open it up into other areas? Or was that a direction they were headed in anyway, do you think?
A bit of both, actually. Yeah, one of the things when we decided we are an independent limited company, but we decided to pay for a license for the name, one of the things that Colquick is known for is your high street copier, and we've had to work hard to basically try and change that reputation within the local community and obviously build our area up, because there are not many other Colquicks around and not many other printing companies around. A lot of them have gone out of business, and the way that we have kept in business is to look at what does the market need. For example, we've just employed a vehicle graphics specialist, because more and more people want to advertise their business wherever they are, be it, you know, simple vinyl graphics on the side of your car or your van or even your boat, you know. So we've looked at where the market is going, particularly in things like your PVC banners, you know, signage. We do a lot of exhibition stands as well. We're currently working on an exhibition at Silverstone, where we're looking to be the preferred print supplier. We're the preferred print supplier for the big expo in Camberley. We've actually sponsored that event with the Best of Camberley and other local businesses and the Chamber of Commerce, etc. So we've just got to look at where the market is and have to grow the business that way.
And are most processes done in-house? I mean, you know, it sounds like you need a lot of technology to cover all these areas that you've mentioned.
Yep, that's one of our unique qualities. We do most of our print in-house. Our litho printing we still do, but we do it at Colquick in Bracknell. When people come to see us, I always encourage all of my customers to come and make a nice cup of coffee in Farnham. Come and have a cup of coffee and see our premises, because they're amazed at just how much equipment that we do have. We have quite a TARDIS. Our building is a few hundred years old, and it's been everything from a bakery to a pub. So So it can be quite hazardous. We've got low ceilings and steps and everything else. But people love coming to see us because they actually see all the machines working. We've got about 20 different machines that we use. So, yes, things like we work very closely with a local, we try and work with a lot of local companies. We work with a local business that supplies us like promotional gifts and then we print. We work with a local business that supplies us our clothing for branded clothing. So we try and do everything as much as we can on a local basis.
And how do you promote the business to, obviously you're coming on the radio to talk about it, but how do you promote it to the max?
We work very hard on our website and we get a good sort of, we look at Google Analytics obviously, and we get a good hit on our website. I do a lot of networking, so I do Athena Networking. We belong to BNI and Camberley, we belong to Marvellous Women and Fabulous Men. And we go to a lot of local organisers. You know, there's a networking group at the local pub in Farnham this morning, and we just try and get out there as much as we can. We go out. We've got at the moment we are giving out Easter eggs to local businesses, so we walk around the town with an Easter card and an Easter egg and say, you know, we're cool quick. It's just trying to get that name out there, and I think it is working for us.
Do you have any international orders? Place, or do you advertise internationally?
Is it mainly it is mainly in this country.
And mostly local businesses, presumably.
Mostly local businesses. We have increased our area quite significantly. We go Portsmouth, Chichester, because the Colquicks that were out in that part of the world unfortunately aren't in business anymore, so because they obviously know our name, they come to us, and we've got a really, really good courier service that we use, so we courier our products out to the customers on a much wider area. So our areas increased significantly, particularly over the last sort of 2 or 3 years.
Right, okay. And obviously because it's digital print rather than live, the minimums are one or two.
Yes, yeah, Yeah, okay. So we can do, the one thing that we have is that we offer a really personal service. So if people are doing things like wedding stationery, they can come in and they can see a proof of their order of service or their invitation. So one of the things that people don't understand a lot about is like colour. So when you see something on a screen, you're looking at it in RGB, but actually when you print it out, you print it in CMYK. So what you see when you get a printout can be significantly different to what you're looking at on your computer screen. So one of the main sort of unique things about Colquick and one of the things that we sell to our clients is they can come in anytime, look at colour proofs, talk about colours, they come in to look at all the different stocks that we have, so the different materials that we can print on, and that gives us, you know, a completely different quality to something that you can buy on the internet.
And are people coming with their own artwork, or have you got a designer in-house?
We have two graphic designers, so they do a bit of both. Some people come with their own design, but at the moment we've got sort of 3 or 4 days worth of creative design work that we're working on. So they're employed very well, our graphic designers.
I'm sure. And what about things like, say, hot foil stamping and embossing and things like that? Do you do those there?
We do hot foil and embossing, but we're not done on our premises. We do actually do those in other premises.
But presumably the minimums are?
Minimums when you're looking at foiling and that sort of thing, into sort of hundreds. One of the things we have been looking at is, because it's becoming more and more popular, it's something that actually decreased. And in recent times, we're getting quite a lot of demand for that. So we're looking at actually buying a machine in-house to be able to do that for our clients.
And to keep up to date with, you know, what people want, have you got market research? People looking at, and also looking at brands and products, and, you know, surfing the web for all of that.
We obviously are part of Print Monthly, Print Weekly. You keep up to date with everything that's going on, and you know, from obviously we have various suppliers that supply us our papers and our materials, so you know what people are wanting. So yes, we do keep up to date with everything that's going on, going to exhibitions, doing training. Obviously, when you're buying the latest equipment, you have to know the latest techniques that are associated with that equipment as well.
And, you know, it's called Corquick, but it's a private business, but you're using the Corquick name.
Yes. Yeah, we're a limited company. It used to be a franchise. That franchise disbanded about sort of 4 years ago. There are still Corquick franchises that are coming up now. We're very, very lucky because we meet quite regularly with the owners of other Corquicks. In fact, we were at a conference two weekends ago where we were asked to, Corquick and Farnham were asked to present to 15 other centres. I did a presentation on sales and marketing because most of those other centres haven't actually got a sales and marketing manager. And Colin, who runs the business with his wife Lisa, he was asked to do a presentation on all the large format that we do, because yet again, that's something that we do that not a lot of other Corquicks do. We took loads of samples, and that was really educational for them, and we got some really good feedback for that.
That's good. Yeah, that's definitely really good. And have you seen the business sort of grow more in that direction then than leaflets and things like that? Because I would imagine now people are spending less on that and more on their websites, because as soon as you printed it, it's kind of out of date, isn't it?
You do say that, but actually leaflets, brochures and everything is still a huge, huge demand for that area of the market. So we still do a large number of that. Quite amazing. You know, people still want their 10,000 leaflets. There's still an awful lot of demand for mail drops, you know, work with local papers and that sort of thing. So, yes, there's still a huge demand for that area of the market.
Good.
And you mentioned the digital aspect to it. Do you produce digital products as well?
Yeah, we have a huge digital press, so that's our main area. Two types of printing. One is digital, where you're using toners and ink and you produce that straight away. We've got a really, really high quality press, and that produces all our business cards, your leaflets, and everything, basically anything and everything. With your litho print, that's more your wet inks, where you're actually looking at really huge runs of materials, because it's like the old-fashioned print press. And particularly use litho printing for when you're looking at Pantone colours. So you want very specific colours, you actually put that colour ink into your machine. Okay. So it is still used, but just not as popular as it used to be.
It's all really interesting talking to you, Jane. Unfortunately, we've run out of time.
Oh, dear.
I have to say, yeah. So I think, you know, obviously you're based in Farnham. We're here in Weybridge, but you've obviously got quite a wide reach. Yes. So what's the best way for anyone who's in this area or into Surrey to get in touch? Is it just a Corquick website? Or
You can go to www.corquick.co.uk/Farnham, or you can give us a ring on 01252 710 927, or you can email me. My email is jane@farnham.corquick.co.uk, and Corquick is spelled K-A-L-L-K-W-I-K, because a lot of people put a C in it. And we'll look forward to seeing you. Come and visit us, because I'd love to make you all a cup of coffee.
I think I'm going to pop in, because I live in Farnham.
Good.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Jane. That's been really useful, I think, to a lot of our listeners who might want small print runs, who probably didn't even realise half the things that you're offering. So thank you very much. That was Jane Redhead of Corquick in Farnham. So I'd like to thank both or all of our guests today on Just Women. That's Julia Jones, Carol McGrath and Jane Redhead. And a huge thanks, as ever, to my co-presenter, Sharon Finch. And, of course, to Graham Laycock, who's produced the show for us today.
Thanks, Anne. And just to say, we're always keen to hear about local women with interesting lives. So if you know of someone who you think should be on our show, please email us justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details, and we'll get in touch with them.
Yes, and if we can get them on a future show, that would be really fantastic. And you can see details of our previous and future guests on our website, which is brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can also find us on Facebook under Just Women at Brooklands Radio. And if you are on our page, please remember to like us while you're there. So thank you very much for listening, and join us again next week for Just Women. That's live at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, repeated at 8 o'clock on Thursday. So it's goodbye from me, Anne Twist.
It's goodbye from me, Sharon Finch.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.